I want to share some stories. That's how I want to begin today. About 6, maybe 7 years ago, two young adults, Allie and Emma, traveled from our congregation in Saratoga Springs to Central America on a mission trip to a poor community in San Salvador. Now, they were excited to get their hands dirty doing some serious work in the community. When they arrived at the mission, the priest in charge explained their task: paint a mural. Now, at the time, they reported being surprised and disappointed until they began painting. They were soon surrounded by children in the neighborhood who were fascinated by what they were doing and eventually started picking up brushes and started painting as well. At night, the people in the community, out of their poverty, pulled food together to feed these visitors from El Norte. There was singing and dancing and feasting and merriment. Allie and Emma, who now work in the nonprofit sector helping people, realized that this experience had shattered the way they understand the world, their place in it, and their ability to help others. And it compelled them to lives of service. Allie and Emma were transformed by the power of art. Now, one of the most famous paintings in the world is Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh, which hangs in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art in New York. And while there are thousands of famous, amazing paintings in that museum, this one garners the most constant crowds. But what I notice is that most people pause for no more than 30 seconds. Now, Timothy was anything but typical. He had just arrived from Tennessee, and he was eager to soak in everything about New York City. He wanted to check out the museums and the parks and the restaurants and everything. So I led him to MoMA, and I led him to this painting, and he gasped. He took a photo or two and kept standing there, looking. I wandered out of the crowd like many people, and I stood and spent a little time with the Klimt Across the Way, a painting that I love. About 5 minutes later, I returned, Timothy still standing, stock still, tears streaming down his face. A few minutes later, he connected with me, and he told me about his grandmother, a woman suffering from dementia, who most of the time made no sense at all, but who occasionally would wax poetic and in great detail about this painting. Timothy found it odd and sometimes annoying until he laid eyes on the original. Suddenly, seeing the paint, seeing the swirls, allowed him to understand his grandmother's obsession and the pain of her illness and the pain of Van Gogh's. Timothy was transformed by the power of art. Yvonne loves dance. Now, Yvonne loves dance every kind. She loves ballet to modern dance, big Broadway musicals. She inhales dance the way some of us inhale air. But Yvonne has a disability that prevents her from dancing. She told me that watching dance for a while allows her to forget that her body doesn't move the way others do. And her spirit catches flight as she watches live dance and dance in film, and yes, even Dancing with the Stars. So when she heard about a disabled dance company, she tentatively got involved. But she got inspired. Yvonne has begun learning how to move her body in ways that don't hurt it, in ways that are graceful, in ways that allow her to feel what she has always just seen. Her bravery inspires others as well. Yvonne is transformed by the power of art. Last story. A few years ago, New York's Working Theater created a show called La Ruta, The Route. The play tells the story of people trying to cross into the U.S. out of the watchful eye of the border patrols. The entire play is set in a tractor trailer. And the audience sits in the tractor trailer on boxes with the actors. We see firsthand the desperation, the desolation, and the violence. The play was so disturbing because it was so real and in your face. One of my friends, Emerald, went grudgingly because, well, it was a class assignment. But by the time the show ended, she was in tears from anger. She didn't let it go. Weeks later, she was still talking about the performance and absorbing articles and going to lectures and investigating. Her Facebook feed was filled with stories of immigration. And Emerald, who had never thought one whit about immigration justice before, was now consumed by it. After she graduated, Emerald went to work for a nonprofit that focuses on immigration justice, providing assistance to those who get lost in the system. Emerald was transformed by the power of art. Now, each of these stories speaks deeply about art and how it connects us to something. We all have stories of a song or a film or a play or a painting that touches our souls. It might be the song our father sang to us when we were scared, or the scene of a movie that speaks our truth, or a sculpture in a favorite museum or surrounding us right now that becomes permanently etched in our memory. And if I were to ask each of you to describe a moment in a worship service that stuck with you, chances are good it's a piece of art, a song, a story that was acted out, an object used, a play. When we think about art that way, they stop being just objects, a play, a song, a painting, and as musician Brian Eno suggests, they become triggers for an experience that transports us to a time of joy, comfort, or ease. Because suddenly, it is well with our soul because of art's power, which is mysterious. I mean, we can't know for sure what moves us or when we see a famous play or painting or dance, but we know the one that captures our attention and makes us wonder and lets us consider our humanness and our connection to the divine and our profound dance with life and our interconnectedness with the world. We are so moved by the arts. We create artistic places to house and engage them, from the Guggenheim to the Sydney Opera House. We are so moved by the arts that despite our austere Puritan forebears, we cannot help but put art in our places of worship. We are so moved by art, we write songs about art, like Vincent and Mona Lisa, and even entire musicals about art, like Sunday in the Park with George. So, what is it about art? Well, first I would argue that art helps us see and speak to our humanity, to tell our human stories. Even the most abstract painting tells some kind of story. As Jonathan Gottschall, author of The Storytelling Animal, writes, when we read nonfiction, we read with our shields up. We are critical and skeptical. But when we are absorbed in a story, we drop our intellectual guard. We are moved emotionally. It reminds us of the paradox of story that was first noticed by Aristotle in the Poetics. We are drawn to fiction because fiction gives us pleasure. But most of what is actually in fiction is deeply unpleasant. Threat, death, despair, anxiety, Sturm und Drang. But it isn't just that we like these stories. We need them. The human mind was shaped for story so that it could be shaped by story. Science has shown us that when we hear or read or watch stories, not only are the language and visual processing parts of our brain activated, but any other area of our brain that we would use when experiencing these things in real time are activated as well. As science writer Leo Widrich notes, whenever we hear a story, we want to relate it to one of our existing experiences, and that's why metaphor works so well for us. While we're busy searching for a similar experience in our brains, we activate a part called the insula, which helps us to relate to the same experience of pain or joy or disgust. And story allows us to engage those things in safety. You see, storytelling happens throughout the arts, whether television, film, books, dance, sculpture, stand-up comedy, or painting. Whatever the form, stories emerge. Our stories, human stories, sometimes joyful, but more often hard, tragic stories. New Testament professor Hal Tossig suggests that the arts help us tell our human stories in ways that address the untenable without our knowing it. Art brings us up against the things we have a hard time facing, but it never says explicitly, here's the scary part. Rather, art provides a structure that allows us to peel off layers and go just a little deeper each time we engage it. Now, this is especially important when we encounter the stories of people that we do not perceive as being like us. Stories from people of color, or queer people, or immigrants, or those living with disabilities, or the economically disadvantaged. These stories are often difficult to understand because they describe experiences we have never and can never have. But artistic structures help make space so we can approach these difficult realities sideways. Let us in through the side. Art creates a shared experience through which we can connect and understand in relative safety. As George Bernard Shaw quipped, without art, the crudeness of reality would make the world unbearable. Or in the words of acting teacher Stella Adler, life beats down and crushes the soul, and art reminds you that you have one. A couple more stories. In Los Angeles, there's a graffiti artist who calls himself Skid Robot. And he brings a meal and creates art on the streets with unhoused people on Skid Row. He talks to them and creates and paints a scene on the wall or fence behind them that reflects their stories, their hopes, their dreams. One might show the food that she remembers from her youth, another a big comfy chair, the third the family he left behind. Through drawings, conversations, and simple assistance, Skid Robot feeds their bodies and souls and awakens their imaginations. At New York's Judson Memorial Church, my friend Micah Busey, whose prayer to creative prophets you heard, he runs something called Bailout Theater, which serves a free meal and a free show on the first Wednesday of the month. Now, it doesn't matter who you are. You are welcome to come and eat and experience some art, a stage reading, some music, a new dance, some comedy, something that feeds your soul and your body. People come in rich from the community, unhoused, somewhere in between, and sit together as they experience a meal and a show. Micah is always charmed and surprised and moved at how important bailout is to the community, because he regularly sees people who are largely ignored make connection to other people. He watches those in need tear up at being spiritually and emotionally fed, even as they enjoy a well-prepared meal. And sometimes, those very people approach Micah with their own projects. Singers who can't get a decent gig, dancers who age or ability keep them from joining companies, writers who can't catch a break, actors who are just never the right type. And Micah gives them, too, a place to shine, to share their gifts, and to help others. So, imagine if we were all given a chance to shine. Or, more importantly, told we could create art that moves others. Now, this wasn't scripted because I didn't know about it until about 5 minutes before the service began, but I understand that a group of people here each added their own little something to create a piece of art as you experienced a racial justice weekend, the cloth on the chalice table. Is a piece of art created to tell stories and to imbue it with a love of humanity and diversity and justice. Probably half the people in that room didn't know they were artists, and yet they've created some art. Because the truth is, we, you, me, all of us, we are all artists. Process theology suggests that just as God is both creator and creating, we too are both a part of creation and are creators. That the true moments of creation, or that the moments of creation are the true reality. As Arthur Graham notes, each of us is an artist whose task it is to shape life into some semblance of the pattern we dream about. The molding is not of self alone, but of shared tomorrows and times we will never see. Now, even given all of this, there is probably a solid 10 to 20% of people in this room who are sitting there going, yeah, but I'm not an artist, right? You don't have to raise your hands. I know you're there. Perhaps it's because you could never coordinate your feet in dance class, and you gave up because the kids called you a klutz. Perhaps you had a music teacher who suggested it would be best if you just mouthed the words. Perhaps you had an art teacher who fussed because you didn't exactly follow the plan for the painting. Perhaps you had an English teacher who said your story was uninteresting. Perhaps you imagine great stories but were scolded for daydreaming instead of paying attention to the teacher's lesson. Perhaps, and this is my story, you had a director who told you you ruined the play because you really couldn't act and he regretted casting you. We get these horrible messages often in our childhood that keep us from creating and breathing in the smell of paint and makeup and sweat and graphite that keep us from imagining possibilities and entering the world through our stories. And we're often told that the meaning we glean from a poem or song or painting isn't correct, and we then convince ourselves to like what's proper instead of what speaks to our soul. I encourage you. I implore you to create. It doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be for public consumption. Write bad poetry that you burn in the grill. Draw awkward pictures on the margins of your notepads. Sing off key in the shower. Dance as if no one is watching. And surround yourself with art too, whether it be decorating with paintings and photographs that capture your interest, items that comfort and inspire you, putting on dance music while you do household chores, or watching a few episodes of a well-written television show to inspire your own muse. Engaging in the power of art, whatever form it takes, gets our creative selves energized to tackle other tasks, whether it be caring for an aging parent, or volunteering for a service organization like Youth Build Schenectady, or teaching young minds, or dismantling racism, or resisting hate, or reversing the effects of climate change. And, side note, as you allow yourself to be artistic, the things you create are probably going to be better than you thought they were. Maybe you'll discover a new connection to a part of yourself that reminds you that we are incredibly human and deeply connected to the divine and each other. Art. As author John Updike notes, art offers some space, a certain breathing room for the spirit. So breathe. Let doing art alone or together be your way to enter the world, to explore the messy, hard stories of life, to approach the difficult sideways, to compel you to action, and to let your spirit dance. So may it be.